in my before I start, I got to say we started a little bit late today, and you won't believe this, but well, it's true. As we were backing out of our driveway, we see sirens and we see lights and hear sirens, and a police car come down the street, followed by a line of motorcycles, Harleys, most of them. The lead Harley driver wearing a Santa suit, and so they pinned us into our driveway. We're a little bit late today, but it just, you know, Santa has his ways of trying to interfere with the work, and it just, I mean, I got upset, but then I laughed, thinking that. it's a battle every day. In my previous sermon, it was entitled Truth versus Evolution. We discussed how Scripture is the antithesis to the theory of evolution. In other words, the theory of evolution is in rebellion against the Word of Yahweh. Evolution seeks to destroy the power and glory not only of Yahweh, but also His Son Yahshua. And he's seeking to destroy Yahweh and Yahshua in the primary Hebraic seven-word foundational premise of Scripture, which is Genesis 1. And you all have a handout that shows the English and the Hebrew and the Hebrew letters of the first sentence in the Scripture, Genesis 1, verse 1, which reads, "In the beginning," now I mentioned that that's a seven-word foundational premise. So, "In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth." Wait a minute. That's only six words. What happened? Let me try it in Hebrew. Bereshit bara Elohim et Hashamayim wa'et haretz. Well, there's the seven. What did I add? Well, we count six words in English because one word is not translated. It's the Hebrew word et. So what does et mean? Well, it's not a word, per se. It's more like a sign. It is spelled Aleph Tah, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Bereshit bara Elohim et. The Aleph Tah, the word et, comes right after one of the titles of Yahweh. The word is Elohim. So et is with Elohim. Now wait a minute. That sounds familiar. And if you would hold, if you would look at the second sheet that I passed out to you today. Let's read John 1 and verses 1 through 5. "In the beginning," now that sounds familiar too, "was the Word. And the Word was with Ton Teon," literally, "the Almighty. And the Word was Teos," meaning a mighty one. Verse 2, "He," that is the Word, a mighty one, "was in the beginning with Ton Teon," again, "the Almighty. All things were made through Him." Him who? Him, the Word. "And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness." The darkness did not comprehend it. I just, in my mind, I'm just picturing this morning when all these people, it must have been 100 motorcycles, following Santa Claus, led by the police with flashing lights. They do not see the light. They're all doing things on the day that Yahweh has set aside to worship Him. It just saddens me. So, who is this mighty one referred to as the Word, this Aleph and Tau? If you would turn to the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, let us see. Revelation chapter 1, and beginning at verse 4, Revelation 1, verse 4, says, "Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Yahshua the Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To Him who loved us and washed," or in some versions it says, "freed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His Elohim and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Verse 7, "Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. And all the tribes," and that word there, tribes, in Greek means offshoots, "all the offshoots of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so." Amen. Verse 8, "I am the Aleph and the Tau." And in some versions, the words are added, "the beginning and the end." "I am the Aleph and the Tau," says the Master, "who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." So this word, spelled Aleph Tau, is Yahshua Himself. Aleph Tau, therefore, is His signature. It is His sign. Now going back to Genesis 1 verse 1, perhaps we should read it this way. "In the beginning, Elohim," the Aleph and the Tau, the sign of Yahshua, "created the heavens and the earth." Kind of has a good ring to it. It turns out that there are a number of places in Scripture where we find this Aleph Tau written and not translated. And if you would, I have a third sheet you can follow as we talk about Numbers 25 and verse 8. Numbers 25 and beginning at verse 5. "So I'm going to read the following section of Scripture, reading the Aleph Tau, where it is found in the Hebrew text." Okay? Verse 5. "So Moses said to the judges of Israel, 'Every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor.'" Now, Baal of Peor literally means Lord of the Opening, a reference to the sexual practices of pagan worship and why Scripture refers to such worship as harlotry. Verse 6. "And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting." Now when, and it says in your scripture Phinehas, but his name is Pinchas, "when Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through," Aleph Tau, the man of Israel, "and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, 'Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back," Aleph Tau, "my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous," Aleph Tau, "for my sake among them, so that I did not consume," Aleph Tau, the children of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore say, behold, I give to him, Aleph Tah, my covenant of peace. And it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his Elohim and made atonement for the children of Israel. Whew. Now, who is this story really about? Here are the clues. It is about the man of Israel who turned back the wrath of Yahweh from the children of Israel because he was zealous for the sake of his Elohim that Israel not be consumed, who was granted Yahweh's covenant of peace, to whom shall be an everlasting priesthood, and who made atonement for the children of Israel. The Aleph Tah, the sign of Yahshua, appears five times in the text here, pointing directly, though hidden in the Hebrew text, to Yahshua HaMashiach. Amazing. Okay. He exists, and he, Yahshua, is all through the word of Yahweh. Okay, I wanted to present this amazing truth before we begin our discussion about the seed. If you remember, in my previous sermon, we discussed how the theory of evolution works against the truth that Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Can you see now that Satan not only sought to destroy the power and glory of Yahweh, but he was aiming directly at Yahshua in the middle of the first sentence of Scripture? I submit to you that Satan knew that if he could convince the world that our very existence is not by the work of our Heavenly Father and His Son, but through the evolution of nothingness, then he could bring many into his world, the valley of Gehenna, the lake of fire. He could, through the wrath of Yahweh, destroy the people of Yahweh. It almost happened in Numbers 25. Yahweh was incensed. He was angry at the children of Israel and was setting out to destroy them. And it was this act of atonement. Pointing to Yahshua. And the atonement was achieved with a spear. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, has Elohim indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for Elohim, referring to Yahweh, knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will become like Elohim, mighty ones, knowing good and evil. Now the word serpent is the Hebrew word nakash, meaning to hiss. That is, it means to whisper a magic spell, or to prognosticate, prophesy, or divine. It pictures an enchanter, or someone who uses enchantment. In Genesis 3, verse 5, the serpent is enchanting Adam and Eve with the notion of evolution. He was casting a spell, a lie, that they could evolve into more than what they were. They could, he said, in fact, become gods themselves. Satan continues to this day to deter people from understanding what he was doing back then. He does this by enchanting would-be believers to disregard the beginning of the Bible or even the entire Old Testament, inventing the notion that the ancient ways are dead and have been replaced by newer ways. For example, enchanting people to believe that the law of Yahweh is dead, that it was nailed to the tree, that we are no longer under it, and that we can't perform the works of the law anyway. To worship Yahweh, we must become disenchanted with these notions. Satan is a liar from the beginning. If we turn to the book of John in chapter 8, John in chapter 8, this is Yahshua speaking to the Pharisees. John 8 and verse 43, Verse 43 in chapter 8 of John. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Again, Yahshua was speaking to the Pharisees who made up their own laws, rebelling against the word of Yahweh. They and those today who make up their own laws and traditions that stand in the face of Yahweh are exactly as Yahshua described them. They are murderers from the beginning. And they do not stand in truth because there is no truth in them. When they speak lies, they speak from their own resources, for they are liars and the fathers of them. Jeremiah 16 and verse 19. Reads, this is Jeremiah 16, verse 19. O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. How true. And the truth hurts. The truth hurts. I understand that. When it comes in the form of discipline. And discipline can mean one of two things. Discipline can mean discipleship, teaching, leading, or it can mean punishment. Punishment for behavior that is not according to the word of Yahweh. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, it says, my son, do not despise the chastening of Yahweh, nor detest his correction. This is Proverbs 3, verse 11. Now verse 12. For whom Yahweh loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. So the truth hurts, and Yahweh is not afraid to discipline those that he loves by telling them the truth and offering them the opportunity to change by returning to him. Returning. Repent means to return, essentially. In Proverbs 23, beginning at verse 13, we read in Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell, from death. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Yahweh, our Father, wants us to speak right things. He wants us to speak the truth, which is his word. not made up tales about what his word might say. Now going back to Genesis 3, looking at the phrase, knowing good and evil. In Genesis 3, knowing good and evil. The English word knowing is the Hebrew word yada. And to know, it means to know or to ascertain by seeing, and is used figuratively, literally, euphemistically, and inferentially, which means pointing to instruction and designation. Knowing means being instructed and being designated by that which you've been instructed by. Euphemistically means to use a word or phrase that is more neutral, vague, or indirect, to replace a direct, harsh, unpleasant, or offensive term. For example, in Genesis 4, verses 1 and verse 25, we read, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived." So you know what that word is replacing. To know good and evil means to become intimately familiar with good and evil. It means we are still eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what else is there to eat? Let's turn to Genesis 3, if you're already there. Genesis 3 and verse 14. "So Yahweh Elohim said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity,'" in other words, hate, "'between you and the woman, and between your seed," he's saying to the serpent, "'your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" Her seed. Who is her seed? If we turn to the book of John, back to John chapter 8. Chapter 8 of John, beginning at verse 37. Now we've already read some from there, but I'm going to read that again with a little bit more context. This is about Abraham's seed and Satan's seed. Verse 37, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants," Abraham's seed, "but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Yahshua said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from Yahweh. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, Elohim." Yahshua said to them, "If Elohim were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from Yahweh. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." And what is Yahshua's word? It is the word, the law of Yahweh. Verse 44. "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. He who is of Yahweh hears Yahweh's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of Yahweh. Before Abraham was, I am." Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Yahshua answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, and what is his word? It's the law of Yahweh. He shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Yahshua answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your Elohim. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And then by saying, I know him, Yahshua is saying that he is instructed by him and designated by him. And if I say, he continues, if I say, do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. I keep his law. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Yahshua said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Which in Hebrew is Haya, which is the name of the Father. For which, speaking that, is punishable by death, according to the law of the Pharisees. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Yahshua hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. How could they be so blind and deaf to the word of Yahweh? I mean, they speak Hebrew. They can read the words that we have difficulty understanding. But I suppose that's just more evidence that it doesn't take a scholar to understand what the word says. It has to be read with the Spirit. The same way people today listen to what is preached from the pulpit, but do not search out the word of Yahweh for themselves to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. That's how they can be so blind and deaf to the word of Yahweh. Chapter 3 of the book of Galatians. Galatians 3, beginning at verse 16. Galatians 3:16 begins, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Messiah. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by Yahweh in Messiah, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. But Yahweh gave it to Abraham by promise. You see, if people believe that you can be saved by obeying the law of Yahweh, that would mean that any promises made before that are of no value. But that is not what the law is for. The law has never saved anybody. The law simply lets us know what is sin and how not to sin. If we do not follow the law, we are in sin. And this, speaking to people who do not understand the Ten Commandments, and especially the Fourth Commandment, which is to honor the seventh day. If you're not honoring the seventh day, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you are in sin. You are standing in the face of Yahweh, telling him that you're not going to obey what he says. Verse 19 of Galatians 3. What purpose then does the law serve? And here's the answer. It was added because of transgressions. It was added because of sin. So that we might know the sin. Until what? Until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Who was the promise made to? It was made to Abraham, that he would be the father of nations. He's talking about the Gentiles who will honor the Messiah and will follow him as he obeyed his father and kept the law. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but Yahweh is one. In other words, Yahweh is Echad, as found in Deuteronomy 6, I believe, verse 4. Yahweh is Echad. Yahweh is unity. Verse 21, is the law then against the promises of Yahweh? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin through the law, that the promise by faith in Yahshua the Messiah might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept. We were preserved. We were protected under by the law. We were under guard by the law. Kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Kept for the faith that would afterward be revealed. The faith in Yahshua, who obeyed his father, and we obey as the same, as Yahshua did. And that is revealed in Jeremiah 31:31, in which the law of Yahweh is put into the hearts and minds of his chosen. Verse 24, therefore the law was our tutor. The law was the one who disciplined us, taught us, showed us the way, taught us what sin was so that we wouldn't do it. The law was our tutor, our teacher, to bring us to the Messiah. How can we see the Messiah if we don't obey the law of Yahweh? How can we know him? Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to the Messiah that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the discipleship. We're no longer being taught by the law because we know it. We're no longer under the guard of a tutor. And why? Because we are given the Spirit of Yahweh, which now strengthens us to keep the law of Yahweh. So we're no longer under a tutor. That doesn't mean that we forget everything that we've been taught. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, let's read a little bit more about this seed. Luke 8, beginning at verse 11. This is Yahshua explaining the parable of the seed of this sower. Verse 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of Yahweh, the law of Yahweh. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This is the intent of Satan. This is what he wants to do. Take the word out of our hearts. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Apparently of their own will. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, the riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit, because they have no seed, to maturity. They bring no fruit to maturity. And we can understand the trials and tribulations of this life. This life is not easy. And so people want to fall back and kind of compensate for the pain by enjoying themselves doing things that make them feel good. Unfortunately, many of those things are contrary to the way of Yahweh. In verse 15, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, heard the law, with a noble and good heart, keep it, guard it, protect it, and bear fruit with patience. They bear fruit because the seed, Yahshua, the word of Yahweh, has been planted in their hearts. It has sprouted and grown and now bears fruit containing the seed, not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but of the tree of life. And now they can offer the fruit containing the seed to others. What a beautiful picture that is of Yahshua planting the seed, planting the word in our hearts and it growing and us producing fruit. And in that fruit is the seed, the seed of Yahshua that we can offer to others. And those who receive are those, I believe, who are being called out by Yahweh. If you would turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, one sentence, verse 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 says, now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, the scripture truly is an agricultural book given to us to understand what this is all about. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see evidence of this as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Again, the emphasis is on obedience to the law. Verse 6. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may Yahweh give you understanding in all things. Remember that Yahshua the Messiah, of the seed of David, who meditates on the law day and night, was raised from the dead according to my good news, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of Yahweh is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in the Messiah Yahshua with eternal glory. And here is Paul acknowledging himself as a sinner and being chained to the flesh that we all have. We are chained to that. And making a comparison to the law of Yahweh, which is not chained, it is freely given. 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, and beginning at verse 22, says, since you have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth through the Spirit. And here is the answer to people who say we can't obey the law. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, having been born from above, not of corruptible seed, not of the seed from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, through the word of Yahweh, which lives and abides forever. I'm sorry. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh. The law of Yahweh is the incorruptible seed, which lives and abides forever. Verse 24, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word, the law of Yahweh, endures forever. Now this is the word which by the good news was preached to you. 1 John chapter 3. We'll conclude with this verse, these verses. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. 1 John 3, 7 says, little children, speaking to the children of Israel, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Yahshua, is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of Yahweh does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of Yahweh. Now, there are many people who will say that they are born again. But somehow that doesn't make sense to me. If we're still in the flesh, then we are still tempted, at least, and we still sin. I believe, though, with all my heart, that as we take in the seed of Yahshua, as we take in the word, as we take in the law of Yahweh into our hearts and our minds, and we practice the law as we keep it, as Joshua did, that seed will remain in us when we pass away and will be resurrected. And in that time, we will not be in the flesh. We will truly have been born again, have been born from above, and receive perfected bodies, and not have the temptation that we experience in this life. Well, next time, we will discuss the fruit of the Spirit. As we talked about the seed, now we're going to talk about the fruit that contains the seed. But until then, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May his name be placed upon you, the children of Israel. Hallelujah.